Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Incorruptible: Why Good Companies Go Bad and How Great Companies Stay Great is a business and management book by Eric Ries, best known for The Lean Startup. It extends his earlier work on innovation by asking a harder question, not how to build a successful company, but how to prevent success from slowly undermining the mission that created it. The book argues that many organizations do not fail because their leaders become openly unethical, but because structural pressures push them toward short-term thinking, diluted purpose, and governance choices that reward extraction over stewardship. Ries frames this as a design problem rooted in ownership, incentives, and accountability, drawing on examples from established companies and newer, mission-driven firms. He presents a case for building organizations that can grow while remaining coherent with their original values. The book is aimed at founders, executives, investors, and readers interested in the long-term health of institutions. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, financial gravity explains why growing companies drift away from their mission. A central idea in the book is financial gravity. Ries is for the pressure that success creates once a company becomes valuable enough to attract outside demands. The point is not that founders suddenly stop caring. Rather, the company enters an environment where investors, markets, and internal incentives begin rewarding actions that can conflict with the original mission. This helps explain why even admired organizations can change behavior over time without a dramatic moral collapse. Ries treats this drift as systemic, which is an important shift from the usual story of bad leadership or isolated scandal. That framing matters because it changes the response. If corruption is structural, then more inspirational speeches or ethics statements will not be enough. The book therefore pushes readers to see mission loss as a predictable outcome of organizational growth unless deliberate safeguards are built in from the beginning. This is one of the book's most useful contributions because it turns a vague concern about corporate decline into a specific design challenge. Secondly, ownership and governance are presented as design choices, not legal afterthoughts. Ries argues that the deepest protection for a company's purpose is found in how it is owned and governed. In many business books, governance appears only as a compliance issue or a board-level formality, but here it is treated as one of the core elements of company architecture. That means founders should think early about who has control, what obligations decision-makers owe, and how authority is distributed when the company grows. The book emphasizes that values declared in mission statements are fragile if the structure around them rewards different behavior. A company can say it cares about long-term impact, but if governance gives decisive power to actors focused on short-term returns, the stated mission will gradually lose force. Ries uses this argument to show that durable purpose depends on legal and institutional design, not on good intentions alone. This is especially relevant for companies that expect to raise capital, scale quickly, or eventually go public. The practical lesson is that governance should be built to protect the mission before pressure becomes intense, not repaired after drift has already begun. Thirdly, mission-locked organizations show that profit and purpose do not have to compete. The book does not argue against profit. Instead, it tries to show that profit can be an outcome of coherent purpose rather than the sole organizing principle of a business. Ries describes mission-locked organizations as companies that align their commercial model with a clearly protected purpose, so that growth strengthens the mission instead of weakening it. This idea is important because it avoids the common false choice between idealism and competitiveness. According to the book's logic, organizations that preserve trust, coherence, and integrity can often outperform peers precisely because they are more credible and more consistent over time. The mission is not an optional layer placed on top of the business. It is part of the operating system. That approach is visible in the kinds of examples the book highlights, including long-lived enterprises and newer firms that use structural protections to preserve their aims. For readers, the value of this section is that it offers a model of sustainable capitalism that is neither naive nor purely defensive. It suggests that the challenge is not to eliminate profit, but to define it in a way that supports human flourishing and long-term institutional health. Fourthly, the book recasts leadership as stewardship under pressure rather than charisma. Another important dimension of the book is its view of leadership. Ries is not mainly interested in the heroic founder narrative, where strong personality and bold vision are assumed to be enough. Instead, he focuses on what happens after the early stage, when a company becomes successful enough to face investors, competitors, and internal complexity. In that environment, leadership becomes less about inspiration and more about stewardship, preserving the conditions that let the organization remain trustworthy and coherent. This matters because many companies mistake growth for maturity, when in fact growth can expose them to stronger temptations and more fragile decision-making. The book suggests that leaders must learn to work on the system around them, not just on strategy or culture. that includes recognizing how incentives shape behavior, how boards influence priorities, and how organizational habits can quietly override declared values. By emphasizing stewardship, the book broadens the idea of leadership from personal excellence to institutional responsibility. Readers who are founders or managers will likely find this one of the more practical themes, because it explains why good intentions often fail unless they are reinforced by structure and practice. Lastly, the book is both a critique of short-term capitalism and a practical playbook for reform. Incorruptible stands out because it combines moral critique with operational guidance. Rees clearly questions the dominance of shareholder primacy and short-term profit maximization, but he does not stop at diagnosis. He tries to show how builders can redesign companies so they remain durable, accountable, and mission-aligned. That makes the book more concrete than many corporate ethics books, which can be persuasive in principle, but vague in application. The practical value lies in its insistence that reform begins with specific choices about capital structure, governance, and organizational priorities. At the same time, the book remains intellectually ambitious because it connects business design to broader questions about trust, legitimacy, and human flourishing. This combination helps explain why it appeals to founders, executives, and investors alike. It is not only for readers who want to criticize modern capitalism, but also for those trying to operate within it without losing their organization's original promise. Compared with more conventional management books, its distinctiveness comes from treating incorruptibility as an engineered outcome rather than a personality trait or a culture slogan. In conclusion, Incorruptible is best suited for founders, CEOs, board members, investors, and anyone responsible for organizations that must grow without losing their original purpose. It will also be useful for readers interested in corporate governance, institutional design, and the limits of mission statements in practice. The book offers two main benefits. First, it gives a sharper diagnosis of why companies drift, showing that decline is often built into incentives and ownership structures rather than caused only by individual misconduct. Second, it provides a way of thinking about prevention, encouraging readers to treat governance as an active design problem instead of a legal detail left for later. What makes the book stand out in its category is that it is neither a standard leadership manual nor a simple critique of capitalism. It merges business strategy, organizational design, and ethical reasoning into one framework. That makes it especially valuable for readers who want practical guidance but are also dissatisfied with shallow advice about culture, purpose, or values. Its emphasis on mission-locked structures and financial gravity gives it a distinctive place among modern business books about long-term value creation. If you would like to support Eric Rees, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.